Hello and welcome to another Mike M's Weekly Reads. So I thought I would go over some questions in this episode and then talk a little bit about previews and go from there and see what happens. These are questions from Nick Wetmore, and I think they're quite old. They're about a month old. I'm just getting around to them. I got a slew of questions, and now I'm gonna finish them up. So, Nick's first question is: when you think of steel, which one do you think of? That one's pretty easy. My favorite steel is Commander Steel, or steel that you saw in the JSA. That's my favorite. It's the guy that's also in Legends of Tomorrow. I like that steel. But when I think steel, I think a Shaq. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think a Shaq. I think of John Henry Irons. Just because he was so prominent in the 90s and he had way more comics out than Commander Steel ever did. Steel had a 5-issue series, and then that's when the implosion happened. And then he starred in Odds and Ends, and probably had the biggest run in JSA. That's where he kind of blossomed under Geoff Johns. But I'll definitely say Steel, coming out of the death of Superman. You had Superboy, the Eradicator, Cyborg Superman, and Steel. And that is the steel that I think of. Next question says, when you think of Hulk, which version do you think of? I think of Defenders Hulk because that's where my Hulk is, and it's pretty much the Hulk smash. Bruce is smart, Hulk is dumb kind of Hulk. That's the Hulk that I like. I like it when it's more. He doesn't always have control, and he's kind of like Frankenstein's monster. That's the Hulk that I think of. It even goes along with the TV show with Bill Bixby. When he turned into the monster, you never knew what he was gonna do. He would just smash shit up and then run off and then fall asleep and then turn back to Bruce. But that's why I like Immortal Hulk so much. I like Bruce Jones's Hulk a lot, and I like all of the stuff that was in the 70s and 80s. I like Peter David's run, but he did a lot to morph him into the Hulk I don't know. It made him smart, made him gray, made him all kinds of different stuff. Back in the day, when Superman turned into the white-blue costume, what were your thoughts? I really didn't have any. I don't get upset like most people when things change. I like change because then it makes you appreciate things more. It gives you more history of that character to latch on to. So I'm all for change and morphing and other people taking the mantles and all that stuff, females becoming the male character like Thor. I'm all for that. I like change. But I like things to eventually come back to the status quo too. So, what do they say? Separation makes the heart grow fonder, or I don't, there's another term for it. But plus it adds on to the history, so it's not always the same. You know what I mean? It just adds, and you can say, you remember the red and blue Superman years? And a lot of that even contributed to the current continuity because when New 52 Superman died, he spawned off like this energy explosion, and Lois and Lana became the energy type Supermans. So kind of even exists today. And that led into Superwoman. So Your next question said, "Who's gonna win in a group brawl?" Okay, when you say this, I'm gonna answer it like I was a writer, but when you write comics, any outcome could possibly happen with so anybody in my mind could win, depending on who the writer is, because they could make it happen. So he's saying, who's gonna win in this kung fu fight? Richard Rider, kung fu fighter, Shang-Chi, master of kung fu, Sons of the Tiger, or White Tiger? Oh, there's no Iron Fist there. Interesting. But the Richard Rider, I think you meant Richard Dragon, kung fu fighter. It's not Rider. Richard Rider, somebody else. I can't think of who he is, but it's Richard Dragon if you're thinking of the DC U kung fu fighter. First appearance of Lady Shiva, I think, is in Kung Fu Fighter. He dealt with the Bronze Tiger, and Bronze Tiger became prominent in Suicide Squad. So a lot there's another fighter you gotta put in there. Bronze Tiger, I think, is legit. He should be there. Iron Fist, definitely. I'm gonna have to go with what I know. So if I had to write a comic, you wanna go outside, Harley? Sorry about that. I'm gonna turn on the TV for Harley because she seems bored. She's like, "Why are you podcasting, Dottie? I'm here. Play with me. I'm a good girl."
International
So
began
let me.
idling the bear to say things
I'll
like,
put
"I'm a member of the
something that I don't care on,
best of
and
luck."
it's young Sheldon. I don't care about that. It's a good question, and I'm gonna go with Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter, because of all those characters you mentioned, which is Kung Fu Fighter, Shang-Chi, Sons of the Tiger, White Tiger. I have read more Richard Dragon than I have any of the others, so it would be easy for me to get him to win. I haven't even read that much Shang-Chi. I've read a lot of modern Shang-Chi. I think there was a Max series. There was a bunch of one-shots, from events that he had a four-issue series. I've read all that. I haven't read a lot of the original stuff. I had like two comics I ever had with him in it. And he was an Avenger, by the way, in Hickman's run. But the when I would like to get to read him, but I don't know, it's like four volumes of Omnibus of Shang-Chi that I need to get into and learn more about the character, and then I might change my mind. But even when I have all the appearances of Iron Fist, and I would still say that Richard Dragon would win because I don't know, I have more of a liking to that character. So after that question, you said, "Need you to rank these titles: Marvel Team Up, Super Villain Team Up, Marvel 2-in-1." Well, you're hitting some of my weak zones. So I don't own a lot of Marvel Team Up. I don't own a lot of Marvel 2-in-1, and I think I have more than half of the collection of Super Villain Team Up, but I haven't completed it. So I did when Marvel 2-in-1 became the thing, I did collect that, but I never had more than a few issues of Marvel 2-in-1, and I've had several issues of Marvel Team Up, but it was more like. The one thing that was nice about those books is it was kind of like done in ones. Sometimes they'd cross over into multiple arcs. Like one of my favorite arcs of Marvel Team Up is Spider-Man Yellow Jacket series, and the next one is Spider-Man and the Wasp. And that series was amazing. I loved it so much, but I love Yellow Jacket, so I made sure I bought that. And I've read that series multiple times because I like it. Supervillain Team Up, I've read and I've enjoyed because you got Namor and Doctor Doom, and I like them both. But if I had to pick one, and I'm gonna answer this question like if I wanted to complete a run, I'm gonna go with Marvel 2-in-1 because of Ben Grimm. I love Ben Grimm, and I would like to see more of that and read more of it. What's your next omnibus? I don't know. I buy a lot of omnibi, and since I got Clone Saga first volume read, I don't know if I want to go into the second one. I kind of do. Part of me does. Part of me wants to explore something else. I might even go into the DC realm, like the Golden Age Batman or Superman. I've been dying to get into Golden Age Superman. I'm not sure, but maybe it's Shang-Chi. Maybe it's Shang-Chi. Maybe that's where I need to go because of your previous question. The next one from Nick is, what are some of your guilty pleasures costume designs? I know what guilty pleasure is, and I know what it means, like nonchalant. But I'll be honest with you, if I take the thing literally, I'm not embarrassed to say I like anything. I don't feel guilty for liking anything. I like it, and I'll flat out tell it to your face. I don't really care what anybody else likes or thinks. I am not going to be peer pressured into anything. I've never had to be, and been very fortunate in life. Like, I think I've said this on a previous podcast. I had a very good childhood because my parents were awesome. We didn't have a lot of money, but it taught me the value of money. And I was lucky enough to experience every click. I met a lot of people in life, and it made me a well-rounded person because I was a geek. Yeah, I collected comics. Yes, I was a nerd. I got good grades. Yes, I was a jock. I played high school basketball. I played baseball. All this different stuff. Yes, I worked in high school. As soon as I became the age of 15, I became a sacker at a grocery store. I worked all the way through high school until I graduated at McDonald's. I met a lot of different people. So I met the worker crowd. There was cholos, gang members that worked at McDonald's with me. I fit into those cliques. I knew them. I worked with them hand in hand. So I got to fit in every group, and I never felt like one was better than the other. I liked them all for one reason or another. So, very fortunate. But what does that have to do with guilty pleasures? When I was in every clique, I was never embarrassed to say I read comic books. My jock friends knew I had comic books, boxes of them. They came into my room. They knew I was a geek of toys. They knew I collected Star Wars toys and all kinds of stuff. Never felt guilty about it. But you're asking, do I have any guilty pleasures? And I think what you're asking is if there's goofy costumes that I love but people don't care for. You mentioned Taskmaster. I don't know anybody that hates that costume. I think it's pretty good. Prowler's pretty good too. He's got some purplish and dark colors in his. And Boomerang Marvel. That one's interesting. I actually prefer Captain Boomerang from DC. That's kind of a goofy costume. The hat alone, the wardrobe is sort of goofy. The shirt like hangs over the pants. Everything has boomerangs on it. I like Captain Boomerang's costume. I like a lot of colorful costumes and busy costumes. Let's say Jack of Hearts. Jack of Hearts is a great costume. I think it's a fantastic design. Probably a very difficult character to draw because of all the lines. I love Yellow Jacket's costume. it's kind of goofy. It has those huge things on the shoulders that are just eye-catching and yellow and black. It's just awesome. I love Mr. Miracle's costume. That's got red, green, yellows. Fantastic design. I don't know. Those are some of my favorites, and a lot of them are busy and colorful. Who has other, like if I was to look at statues or, your Batman villains are all dark and they really don't stand out as goofy. The Penguin probably is my favorite Batman villain. He's got a goofy design. Trying to think of women characters that have a goofy design that or designs. Oh, I love Wonder Woman, but I think her design is not anything to be guilty pleasure about. I like Scarlet Witch's costume. It's kind of like busy red. Oh, I know a guilty pleasure of women. This is a costume that I think is hated amongst the geek community, but I think it's sexy as hell. In the 90s, Sue Storm wore this Fantastic Four costume that had a boob window with the four in it. And I used to think that was amazing, and I still like it. So there you go. Rank John Byrne's Marvel work. Maybe just the ones that are runs, not the one-offs, and walk us through your process. John Byrne, the number one would have to be Fantastic Four. That's when I actually realized creators was when John Byrne was on Fantastic Four. Before that, a comic was a comic. I never read who wrote what, who drew something. I didn't care. But around the time of Fantastic Four, when John Byrne was on it, that's when I just started to notice things. And then he wrote too, and I loved it. So number one would be Fantastic Four for sure. Number two would be Superman and Action Comics when he came over to DC and did those. Number three would probably be Alpha Flight. Number four would be She-Hulk. And number five, probably X-Men, but I'm not well. If I had a weakness in comics, it's X-Men. Everything from the 90s, like 95 up, I've pretty much read. But if you go beyond that, there's pockets and stuff. I've always, I don't know, I can't say I disliked them, but I've never been a huge fan until recently. So that's another area that I like. Whereas Alpha Flight, I read a ton of Alpha Flight. I don't have a complete run, but I do. So I'd go Fantastic Four, Superman, Action. Did I say Alpha Flight? Alpha Flight, She-Hulk, and then X-Men. And I'm probably missing something key. And somebody, I am answering these off the hook and just from memory. And somebody's probably shouting at their iPods or whatever they're listening to and saying, "God damn it, you forgot X." There was Next Men, but I never got into some of his independent work like I did all his other stuff. Red Anvil Comics, man, there's some guy that's drawing Formidables, I think that's what it's called, and his work looks really like John Byrne. It's really cool. But these are great questions. And I would like to know from you, Nick, what your favorite John Byrne, even John Byrne did a Spider Girl comic book, or a Spider Woman. It was one of the two, and that one was really good. He's done a lot. And he does long runs. That's what he's kind of known for. At least he was. So I think that answers all of Nick's questions. And then Dudes on a Map. Okay. I don't know what Dudes on a Map is. I don't know who it is because it's one of those Twitter accounts where you can't tell the name. You just know it's somebody. So, I know it's somebody. It's somebody I follow. It's somebody that we tweet back and forth with. I just don't know who they are, because it's hidden behind a name that I can't make it out. Most of my online friends are somebody's name. Like I could find, even though like Martin is Geekvine, it says Martin, so I like know it's Martin. And then there's Nick. So I can't think of many of my real close friends that have a name except for Chris Ivy, one of my fellow podcasters. Oh, and I can't remember if Bill Bomer. I know his at symbol is at DBM00, but I think it says Bill Bomer in the highlight. So Chris Ivy is probably the only one that I podcast with that has a hidden name behind his Twitter handle. Micah did, I think. Yeah, Micah did, but he's no longer part of Geek Brunch because he went to Japan and kind of lost interest. That's the one thing that you could pod fade. If you go away for a while, I think you start to realize what you could be doing with that time. And there's times when I take breaks and I'm like, you know what? I got a lot of shit accomplished. So yeah, it's one of those things. I don't plan on pod fading ever, but I know if I took a substantial break, it would be harder to come back. It really would, because then you get in the mode of doing whatever you're doing, whether it be reading more, watching more TV, doing more extracurricular activities. But Dudes on a Map says, do you know if there was ever been a mini series that just focused on the staff of Arkham? No, but there has been one series that was close. Arkham Manor, that was not too much. I think it was this one. Yes, I think the closest one that dealt with inmates and staff was Arkham Asylum Living Hell. And this is an interesting one. It's really good. It's got the first appearance of Jane Doll, the first appearance of Warren White, the first appearance of Death Rattle, some of these, the first appearance of Junkyard Dog, the origin of Humpty Dumpty, the first appearance of Humpty Dumpty, the first appearance of Lunkhead, the first appearance of the Great White. The death of Doodlebug. But this is an interesting series, and I'd recommend you get it. It's only 6 issues. It's written by Dan Slott of Spider-Man fame. I think this is close to his first series that he wrote, and it was at DC called Arkham Asylum Living Hell. And guess who the artist was? It was Ryan Sook. So check that out. I think there's a collected edition as well as a deluxe hardcover. So you have a couple ways to try to seek it out. It came out in 2003, so it may be sort of hard to find because there's probably not a huge demand for it, but well worth reading. I would highly recommend it. There's the Arkham Manor series. That was Jerry Dugan and Sean Crystal. That was a short run series, but it kind of This one was interesting because it wasn't really staff related, but it's when the Wayne Manor had to become the actual asylum because it was destroyed. And I think it was destroyed in Batman Eternal, if I remember correctly. Wayne Manor became the home for the criminally insane. But the closest that I could think of, I think you're getting at, is there a Gotham Central for Arkham Asylum? And the closest I can think of is, there's been like one shots and stuff that do that, but is Arkham Asylum Living Hell? That's the closest that I can think of. Very good question. And what else we have? Oh, he said, I would love to see what the staff go through dealing with those lunatics. And there was one series I remember that focused on a janitor, which was interesting. But it wasn't a series, it was more like a one shot. So yeah, check that one out. And I think that I want to thank Nick and Dudes on a Map for sending me questions. They were really awesome questions to think of and answer. They were a lot of fun. They got me thinking and want to pick a new omnibus, that's for sure. So thank you for those questions. And I'm going to talk a little bit about previews. The new previews is for books shipping. It's the November previews for books shipping in January. So I just thought I'd go through like and highlight some of the fun things that I see. And I'll start with DC because that's my favorite publisher. This one has a lot of interesting things. And this one, the one that I'm, we got Young Justice and Naomi, and which are the Bendis line books, but the one that I want to put some eyes on and the one I'm most excited for is The Other History of the DC Universe by John Ridley and Alex Dos Dias. And it's a prestige format $7.99 book that goes over the history of the DC Universe, and there is an awesome history of the DC Universe that came right after Crisis. I wonder if it's called just History of the DC. Yeah, it's History of the DC Universe. It is two issues, deluxe format by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, and this is right after Crisis, so this is New 52 Rebirth era, and I think this is going to be a really awesome series to check out. And it's on DC Black Label. While it might be a little different on the history because of its Black Label, I think it's going to be real interesting on how they pave the way. The other one that I think is interesting is a $9.99 one shot called Mysteries of Love in Space. And this one has a Joelle Jones cover, which is going to be awesome, but it's written by James Tynion the IV, Saladin Ahmed, Cecil Castellucci, Kyle Higgins, Jeff Loveless, and others. Art by Tom Grummett, Kyle Hoetz, Elena Castagrande, Max Dunbar, and others. So, yeah, I think that one's going to be awesome. And they're going to be low print runs because of the cost. So, I think those are two DC books to look out for. And what else? Let's go into the collected editions. What I think I'm going to really like is there's several of them, but I wanna pick one. And I think I'm gonna pick something very, very. I'm gonna pick two. I'm gonna pick the DC Universe by Len Wein. This has books written by Len Wein with artists Jim Aparo, Dick Dillon, Carmen Infantino, Dick Giordano, Neil Adams, Jim Starlin, and others, with a cover by Nick Carty. So we have in here Teen Titans number 18, Phantom Stranger 20-24, JLA 100-102, Action Comics 419-420, 422-423, 425-426, 429, 432. DC Comics presents 2729 JLA 80 page giant number 2, DC Retroactive Green Lantern 80s Big Betrayal number 1, and Swamp Thing Winter Special number 1, which is his last written one that I know of. That's going to be a hell of a collected edition for $34.99. Probably can get that for half price. The next one I'm going to have to pick. And there's a lot of good stuff. But I'm going to have to go with this. This is things that I think are worth getting because it's hard to read these any other way because of their age. Superman, the Golden Age Omnibus, number 6. These are fantastic books. It's $125. Action Comics 106 through 125, Superman 44 through 54, and World's Finest 26 through 36. So those are the the DC books that I am going to pick for this particular previews month. If I'm going to pick two books from Marvel, man, there's a lot to pick. Holy crap. Could I pick more than two for Marvel? I'm going to get a lot of them, but I'm just going to pick the ones I'm most excited about. I'm going to go with Conan the Barbarian number 1. I love Conan, so seeing this comic come back by Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Ashwar is going to be really awesome. And it's got some preview pages, and they're going to solicit 1 and 2, and it's also Conan the Barbarian True Believers month, so you can get a lot of the True Believers as well. Man, there's a lot of number ones. That's the one I'm really excited about. And, oh man, there's such good stuff in here. I wish I could talk about it all. But I think I'm going to go with some sort of Marvel horror books. And are these one-shots? Yeah, they're one-shots. And there's only going to be, since they're only one-shots, I'm going to select all of them. We got Crypt of Shadows by Al Ewing, who's doing the Hulk. He's doing a one-shot. Gary Brown and More on Art, cover by Kyle Hoetz. It's Crypt of Shadows, so it's recreating Crypt of Shadows comic book that's been out. Journey into Unknown Worlds by Cullen Bunn, Clay McLeod Chapman, with art by Francesco Mana and more. And the last but not least is the one I'm looking forward to the most. War is Hell. I've always wanted to get into this book. I need to seek it out. Howard Chaykin and Philip Kennedy Johnson, with art by Howard Chaykin and others. Cover is by Dan Panosian, so I'm looking forward to that. And just as an FYI, Marvel Comics Presents comes back. And it looks like it's an ongoing. And it's three Titanic Tales, so it is going to be just like the same format as the old Marvel Comics Presents, which I have to complete at some point. I started with it, then left it for a while, then came back to it, so I want to complete that run. Now we get into the big DC book, and I'll kind of skim it so I don't hog your hours on this here, but I love previews, and you buy a physical copy, you get a digital copy now, so it is really cool. We'll start with Image, and I'm going to just scan the the number ones and tell you which ones I am going to pick as my favorite. Okay. I'm going to go with Criminal Number One by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. That one I'm excited for. I've always enjoyed Criminal, and it is coming back. And I think the next one I'm going to go with is Oliver Number One. This is listed as Sci-Fi Fantasy by Gary Witta and Derek Robertson. And it's a new take on a literary classic with a futuristic twist. Oliver reimagines Charles Dickens. That's interesting because they got Olivia twist at Dark Horse. Charles Dickens' most famous orphan and a post-apocalyptic superhero fighting to liberate a war-ravaged England while searching for truth about his own mysterious origins. And I've always enjoyed Oliver Twist, so I'm kind of excited for that. So that's from Image. We go into Dark Horse. Fight Club's coming back, but I'm not into that. There's Avatar. I'm going to pick Aliens Resistance because of the writer. I jump in and out of Aliens, but because it's Brian Wood, I'm going to really like this, with art by Robert Carey. This is following the events of Alien Isolation. Amanda Ripley is kept silent by the Wayland Corporation about exomorph threat. Enter Zula Hendricks, an ex-colonial marine in need of Ripley's help to expose a sinister bioweapons program. The duo teams up against an upgraded arsenal designed to keep the darkest atrocities a secret. So I'm looking forward to that as far as a new one. Tom Clancy's Division Extremist Malice is coming to Dark Horse, and I'm interested in that, by Christopher M. Gold and Fernando Balda. So that looks like it's going to be something very, very interesting. I thought there was something else in Dark Horse. I think that's it for me. I am getting a lot of other number ones, but as far as what I'm really looking forward to, that takes us to IDW. They're doing a lot of Marvel books, and I jumped on to Marvel Action Spider-Man, but I am going to also jump out into Marvel Action Black Panther just because of the character. I love Black Panther, and this has Kyle Baker writing and art. So I'm very excited for this because I'm a Kyle Baker fan and I want to see where this goes. All ages should be interesting. IDW also had... Sorry if you hear me turning the pages, but this is live. And I ain't going to edit shit. Just too damn lazy. Editing is expensive with time. You have to sit there and listen to yourself. That's pretty painful. As far as number ones go, there's a lot of continuing series that are very interesting, but I don't think there's anything else that is not continuing that I'm really excited for. So in IDW, let's just go with Black Panther. Dynamite. Very excited for Peter Cannon Thunderbolt. This is a Charlton Action character. The first series that Dynamite did, absolutely fantastic. Somehow DC lost this Charlton character, because they had a Peter Cannon Thunderbolt comic and they acquired all the action heroes because they still have the Question and Blue Beetle. So somehow they let this one slip through the cracks and now Dynamite has it, but they've been doing a fantastic job. And Peter Cannon maps to the Optimal Human, which maps to Watchmen's Ozymandias, or what I can't ever pronounce that damn name from Watchmen. Ozymandias, maybe that's closer. So I'm really looking forward to this. And they have some great covers. So choosing which one, I might go with just Cover A by Sean Phillips. I think that's the best one. This is by Karen Gillan and art by Casper Wingard. The next one I'm gonna go with is, there's so many good ones in I love Dynamite, and I love that they let you select multiple covers. I'm gonna go with Turok number one. Must buy for me. Anything that is Gold Key or Valiant, I like. This is Ron Mars by Roberto Castro, so I'm gonna be getting that volume for sure. And then, God, I get a lot of comics. Boom. I don't know if there's any new number ones I'm going to try, because a lot of the ones that are like borderline all ages that are tempting, but I don't think I'm going to go for any. But I am continuing with quite a few. So nothing new from Boom that I'm going to be picking up. And then we get in the back half of previews, and there's a lot of great shit. But I'm just gonna talk about some highlights. I am gonna be getting from Action Lab Danger Zone the Null Fairies by Chad Ciccone, because he's somebody I know. He's a really nice guy, and he's been working a lot on his artwork. And this is written with art by him as well. So I'll be getting the Null Fairies for sure. And I'm only really talking about new number ones. Aftershock has really no number ones for the first time in a long time. So I'll be skipping that. From Alterna, there's the actual Roger I'll be buying, and IYMI, which stars Mr. Crypt, and Unit 44. I'm not going to read the solicits there, but they're all new number ones, and I buy everything from Alterna. We got American Mythology. I might jump in with Zorro Sacrilege. The main cover art's by Mike Kaluta, with the writer Mike Wolfer, and I tend to like his writing, with art by Mauricio Melo. So I'll be looking forward to that. There's a lot in the back half that looks pretty interesting, but I'll be focusing on number ones. From Archie, I will be getting Blossoms 666, because I like the Archie universe, and it's Cheryl Blossom, and it's in that horror vein anthology. From Aspen, I will be getting one of the ones that I always keep up with is Fathom and Executive Assistant Iris. So I'll be getting Executive Assistant Iris One Shot by Blake Northcutt, with pencils by Donnie Tran. Avatar. I think they're going out of business. That's what I think. But they have a new Stitched, and I will be getting that. Stitched Terror number one. That's actually all they're soliciting that week. Well, they have Cross plus 100 Mimic, so I'll be getting that. That's only one issue. I do like the Crossed. And all the covers I like are the expensive ones, so I'm gonna skip the 9.99 ones and just stick with the 5.99. Oh wait a second. This is an extra large one for 9.99, so I'm gonna get the True Love cover, 'cause it looks sexy as hell. Bloody is sexy, but sexy. Black Mask, no new number ones. Boundless, I've been disappointed with the art lately. Like, the half of the book is really good, and then the other half is just reprinting something. So kind of torn on how I'm gonna go that way. I am gonna try from Cave Comics Appalachian Apocalypse by Billy Tucci and Ethan Nicole. I don't have anything from them, and that looks like a great creative team with a cool cover. Let's see if there's any more new number ones that I'll be getting. Oh, this one's not a number one, but it is a brand new series from Charles Forsman, and I have all his work. He's the one that writes The End of the Fucking World. This is his main one that came out on Netflix. But he's got Hobo Mom, and I'll be getting that for sure because I get all of his work. I've read all of his work, and I really like it. So, I think I could skip a few here. Looking for number ones again. There's a whole bunch of shit I'm buying, but it's not new number ones. So I'm gonna keep going. We're now in Lion Forge. They have a lot of new big offerings, which are hardcovers and such. I usually skip most of those. And I don't think there's anything new from Lion Forge. So that takes us to my next publisher that I usually buy, which is Oni. And I don't think I'm getting anything new in Oni. So that would take me to. Scout Comics, and they have a new book called Shadow Play by Richard Rivera and Clay Mith, set in the Stabbity Bunny universe. Two ninth graders, Bard and Joy, accidentally awaken an ancient artifact, and Bard loses his shadow. When he begins to weaken, Joy calls upon her mystical contacts and discovers the two must quickly be reunited, or both will perish. They must cross over into Val, the hidden realm where our shadows enjoy an independent existence, and find his missing counterpart before time runs out. I missed out on the Stabbity Bunny. I really wish I would have jumped on that. But I'm gonna jump on this one. And Bonnie Last, Volume 2, number 1 from Red 5 Comics. I'll be getting that. I like Red 5. Source Point Press. I get a lot of their stuff, but I'll be getting Savant's number one. That's a new one. And Starburns is another publisher I get, but they're no new number ones. T Pub. Titan Comics. There's a couple of new number ones that I'm excited about, but it's the one that I'm going to talk about. Oh, it's not in this one. I guess there's nothing new that. I thought there was a new Hard Case Crime, but I must be imagining. There's no Hard Case Crime. Matter of fact, there's gonna be not much I'm getting from Titan that month. Valiant, no new number ones, but I buy all of them. And the next one would be Zenoscope. And I don't think they have any new number ones either. So not a lot of new number ones, but a lot of stuff I will be buying still, which are subsequent issues. As far as the back half of previews, man, they have the Mago dolls for the Challenge of the Super Friends that are going to be so tempting, but I have no room for them, and they're quite expensive. But that's it. And now I'll be talking about the weekly reads. So thanks for putting up with me page turning through previews. Marvel has a lot of good stuff. There's, matter of fact, every new number one that's in there, I am going to be buying. Of course, one of them's just replacing the other title. It's the Champions, Invaders number one. I'll be getting Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number one. Captain Marvel has a new series. Black Widow has a new series. So many new number ones. It'll be fun. So I want to thank you for listening, and I'll be back with the weekly reads. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I am back with another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, and we'll be talking about the books that I read for the month of July, sort of this year. And I'm going to go through 3 weeks worth of books. Today was a bummer because it's Friday, and my coworker that I get along with a lot, you know, like I've been working with him for a couple years, and he moved to another contract. I moved with him eventually. He told me he's leaving, and I'm kind of bummed out because he's like the only thing that, I don't know, the only person that kind of I bond with, you know, in the current program I'm working. But oh well. Life happens. I don't blame him. He's a lot younger than myself, and he wants to explore new avenues. But at the same time, I'm kind of bummed out. I'll get over it. I just need a weekend to think about what's happening and move on. But things like that happen. There's a lot more worse things in life that could happen. And a lot of better things that can happen. So I'm going to talk about some comics. So one of the good things that's happened is DCBS moved back to their original headquarters. And I'm getting my packages on Friday. That is the fastest I've ever gotten them historically. 2 weeks in a row. Well, I'm not going to hold them to see if they do that all the time. But if that continues, that'll be pretty awesome. I'm okay with getting it on. When they used to have FedEx, they used to get it on Saturday. When they switched to UPS, they used to get it on Monday. And now they're coming on Friday. So maybe it'll stay that way, maybe it won't. Either way, I have so much to read, it doesn't affect me. But I still have to go through that box. I am all caught up on Batman, the KGB Beast storyline. I've been keeping caught up on that title and detective for the most part. And I am feeling it. Like, I'm enjoying it. And I hope that I can continue to find things to enjoy out of that series. I did think that what happened at the end happened pretty abruptly. And that may or may not be a bad thing. But it just happened way faster than current story arcs tend to go. And that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, depending on how you like to flesh out a character. When you throw in a character that I'm really interested in, like KGB Beast, I want it to last a little longer. But it was a satisfying conclusion to the story. And what else? I'm going to read Heroes in Crisis number 2 probably as soon as I finish this. So this was a fifth week, so I'll be interesting to see what is in my DCBS box. It's pretty big for a fifth week, but it is only 18 pounds, and usually it goes higher, so we'll see what that is. Plus, my comic shop, they really didn't have a lot of DC, which I get this week. They had Batman Secret Files. That'll sort of be fun. They had The Witching Hour, Justice League Dark, Wonder Woman. I gotta get caught up on that. They had The Drowned Earth number 1. They had Superman Top Cat number 1. Nightwing Magilla Gorilla number 1. They had Deathstroke Yogi Bear number 1. And Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound. Interesting. Archie meets Batman 66. It's pretty much my mainstream DC. Heroes in Crisis, both covers. And Doom Patrol, the final issue, I believe, of 12 finally came out. And then they threw in some goodies like DC Nation number 0 because they want to get rid of them all, and the Star Wars free copy of a preview, Marvel preview. And then I have this huge box to go through. But before I get to that, which I'm going to do after the podcast, I think it's Friday. I'm kind of bummed, but I think I'm going to cheer up. I'm going to read Heroes in Crisis. I am going to unbox my comics, get them in order so they're ready to inventory. And then I'm probably going to sit down and watch Titans, which is, I'm all caught up. I've watched the first three episodes. This is episode four on the big screen because I now have a Chromecast, which allows me to watch DC Universe online from my iPad onto my TV. So that's very appreciative. But if any of you listen to this podcast and are hard of hearing and use closed caption when you watch TV, and you have a Chromecast, can you please hit me up and let me know if there's a way to have closed caption on the Chromecast? Because I have it on the DC Universe app, but when it starts streaming, it doesn't come out. The closed caption doesn't come out. So it's set up on the app, but it's not coming out on the TV. But if I watch it from the iPad, it comes out. So if any of you guys have a Chromecast and know anything about closed caption, I'm very hard of hearing. You guys probably say, why do you talk so goddamn loud? It's because I'm hard of hearing. I have one ear. It's pretty much gut deaf. Like I can hear bass, like in music, and that's about it. I can't hear any vocal stuff unless I really, really concentrate, and it gives me a migraine. And they have to be talking at a really loud tone for me to even get anything out of that ear. But if you listen to this, you have a few days to vote. It's important to vote. I'll say it again. It's very important, whatever side you fall on, to exercise your right to vote. I'm going to do that this weekend. So let's jump into some comics. It'll almost take me to August pretty soon. So this is for July 2nd, 2018 through July 8th of 2018. And we'll start with the total. We had a total of only 17 comic books. I'm on a downward trend in this month of the summer. I don't know why. What I really need to do is like document some key points that I do during the week to at least explain the numbers. I might start doing that. It'd be interesting for me. You guys probably don't give a shit, but it would be interesting to trend why the number's so low. We had two Marvel, two novelty comics. You're probably like, what the fuck is that? Or no, one novelty comic. Two Insane Comics, that you're probably saying the same thing. One Image comic, one Hex Publisher comic, seven DC comics, and three Celsius comics. It was a Comixology week. That's where most of those guys came from. In previous episodes, I've kind of said, hey, you know, when I go by Monica's comics, I tend to look around what's on sale, anything that strikes my eye. So I just don't buy one comic, but I buy like a handful, and it's all driven by Monica. If Monica did not publish a comic book like Friendship Paradox, I probably wouldn't even go to Comixology. That's what drives me to go to Comixology. That, or if I'm missing an issue. What happens if I'm missing an issue? is it's strange, but I'm going to tell you what happens. If I'm missing an issue and it's something I collect, what I usually do is I put it in my shopping cart on mycomicshop.com. And after I've done that, I usually go to Comixology. Yeah, I'm weird. And buy it so I don't interrupt the flow. Like if I'm reading something, I will not want to interrupt the flow. So I just had to turn off the phone. It was a toll-free number and I just hit it so they could leave me a message saying, "Hey, your Microsoft license is expiring." All those phony baloney type things. So got distracted. I even forgot where I'm talking about, but Comixology. I had two Marvel. Oh, I already went over those. So I'm gonna start. I still use the Netflix rating system because I find there's no ambiguity in it, and I like that. Like to me, when you say I gave some a 4.7, there's a little bit of ambiguity. This one, you just know what it is because a one is I hated it, a two is I did not like it, a three is I like it, a four is I really like it, and a five is I love it. Just straightforward things. I can understand all those terms. And there's, yeah, I can love something more than others, but that's why I read from bottom to top so you could see what I like the least all the way to what I like the most. So at 3 out of 5, I had a natural number one. This is an Image comic about, it's about different animal type people in a world where they don't encourage inbreeding with other animals. So like this girl's a pig girl, so she can't have sex with like a goat boy or a bear or a bear boy or something like that. They like to enforce laws to say there's no interracial sex. You breed with your own breed. It's very much political commentary on the way the world is. And I was listening to Martin's podcast, and he said something really that I really agree with. And he's just like, why do we treat each other like garbage? And I see where he's coming from, especially now. And I don't know if it's because it's more in the limelight of the way our country's going, but it's definitely not going into love your brother. It's going to into a world where it's like protect your own ass and keep yourself okay, and who gives a shit about your brother and your neighbor and your people around you? It really is less like that. And this book pokes at that a little bit, but it mostly pokes about like interracial couples and it really not being fair. Because love is love. Even gays, if you love somebody, why can't you marry that person? It's just, it's not right. And when you look at things, I mean, there's been more gay couples that I know that are soulmates for life than more married couples that divorce. They have kids and then they divorce. Well, according to the church, it's to life, to death do we part. That's no longer. People pick and choose what the church does. They make things work to what suits their lifestyle. They don't take the whole thing for the rules to obey, like love your fellow man. There's a lot of churchgoers that hate their fellow man. It's what people are taught and the verses that you're taught and then how you interpret them. I think my religion is sort of like love your brother, treat people with respect, and you'll be treated with respect. And you will feel good about yourself. At least try. We can't always do that, but that's the way I feel. But anyway, this book centers around that. This girl, pig girl, is in love with another animal breed, and crossbreeding is outlawed in this futuristic tale. She keeps having these dreams, and she tells like her roommate friend, they're kind of like wet dreams, if you will. They're very sexual. And I can't remember if the oh, I remember her the breed she keeps dreaming about is a wolf. And the interesting thing, I don't know if I want to get into it because that's number two, but I do want to talk about that because it went from a three to a four. But I just want to briefly talk about this because there's this weird thing. Like, why is she attracted to this other species? Like, what led her to thinking this? And oh man, this was the shocker. And I'll probably talk about it in another episode because I just want to get into it. But when she was a little girl, her mom was cheating on her father and having sex with a wolf. And one time she walked in and saw that happening. And I don't know what it's done with her mind, but it sort of bred that image into a reoccurring dream. And I don't know why she's aroused by it, but it sort of makes sense. It's like those reoccurring dreams, except she has them pretty regularly. I have reoccurring dreams and I can't explain them. I have one reoccurring dream where my basement is just falling apart. And I don't know why that is, but like the boards are rotting, the ground has become dirt. I have that dream. And then the other reoccurring dream, well, I have the school dreams where I show up and there's a test and I didn't know there was a test. And I don't know what that's about. I'm past that. Although I might be in life, a point in life where I am taking a test. I don't know. I'd like to retire soon, but if I have to get certification, I'll probably take another test if I have to keep another job. I guess my plan is to retire at 55, be away from work for 2 years, and then come back into the workforce somehow. And I'll probably be ready for it after 2 years. I don't know. I'll have to see. And I don't know if I'll come back doing what I do or doing something entirely different. But that's what the plan is. But all of that nonsense and rambling, all because I'm talking about a pig girl having sex. So you see how off the rails I go with this podcast. The next book is from Novelty Comics, and I have talked about this before. It's a 3 out of 5. It's Death Betty number 2. And what I said about this, I really like this concept, but the man, these issues are too short to give it a higher score. And they are really short stories. It's like 8 pages, and you get another 8 pages of comic. And then you get a lot of like process material, like this is how we drew it, this is how we put it together. And it's only 99 cents, so it's sort of fair, but if I compare that 99 cents with Friendship Paradox, 99 cents or $1.99, whatever it is, it's like holy crap, I just got 5 minutes of entertainment versus a good 15-minute, 20-minute section of entertainment that will make me think. Like I thought a lot about Unnatural. I wasn't gonna get it. I picked that up at the comic store. That was the month that I said, okay, I'm gonna reduce my number ones. And I always get that vibe sometimes. And in reality, I should. Like I don't need all the comics. They just make me so happy. So it's hard to get rid of something that makes you so happy. But I don't know. Ramble, ramble, ramble. Death Betty, very good concept. It's about a girl whose boyfriend is death. and the shenanigans that she gets to try to get revenge because death broke up with her. In other words, try to keep people alive as death tries to take them away. We then have a Marvel comic, and that is Cosmic Ghost Rider number one. It is put at a 4 out of 5, and it's Frank Castle's a Ghost Rider in Valhalla, and he gets freed from being dead and becomes Ghost Rider. He's basically with Odin and such in Valhalla, and becomes a Ghost Rider. Because I guess he died in Thanos. I haven't read that yet. I own it, but I haven't read it. We then get into Denver Moon number one. That is from Hex Publishers. I read it on Comixology. It is a woman is hired to find out who's killing all of the AI robots that look like human on Mars. So it's very much like a Blade Runner type thing with a murder mystery where the robots are dying. It was a really entertaining book. I give it a 4 out of 5. We then get into Death Rattler number one. A girl who lost her father goes after a gang. She sleeps with some guy and then kills him. Several mercenaries hired to go after her. So she's actually seeking revenge for the people, the gang that killed her father. And the guy that she slept with was somebody that she was seeking revenge for and killed him. This was from Insane Comics, and I have been enjoying what I've read from Insane Comics. The next one is from Insane Comics. It's Apocalypse Girl number one. A girl loses her father. Oh, that's interesting. Two same themes. To a monster, and now she has to get used to her training to survive in this post-apocalyptic world. Sounds like a concept we've read before, but it's well executed, and I gave that one a 4 out of 5. Harley's, "Let me in! Let me in!" That's what she says when she barks. "Let me in!" And then you hear the knocking. It's like scratch, scratch, scratch. And then she'll pause for a little bit. Scratch, scratch, scratch. All right, so we get into a DC comic, and now she's going to play with her toys. DC comic, we have Brave and the Bold 86. Deadman has been brainwashed to thinking he must kill Batman by a member of the Society of Assassins. Batman and him to stop this. I actually read this digitally too. Quite a while ago. I own it, by the way. I own most Brave and the Bold. Everything that Batman's been in, I own. But I read this digitally because Harley Quinn Myers. Why don't you go play over there? So I read this in a collected edition, which was all of the Neil Adams Deadman stuff, which was Strange Adventures, and this one was in the one thing that's nice about that collection is it puts all of them in sequential order for you, and then you just read them, and it can jump titles like from Strange Adventures to Brave and the Bold or any other title. And you get to see that great story. I think this didn't it wasn't all Neil Adams. This was just a Dead Man collection. Because I think some of these stories weren't all Neil Adams. Although Neil Adams contributed a lot to Dead Man. Probably the most iconic images for that particular character. Harley, you just went for 2 walks today for over 2 miles, and now you want to play with this weird little rooster toy. The next book is The Teen Titans 100 Page Giant from Walmart. These books are fantastically addictive, and they are well put together. I just finished the Swamp Thing Halloween special, 100-page giant. And we'll be covering that on a upcoming DC Spotlight with me and Kyle. But I've been pleased with these things. The current batch, I'm missing number 4 of JLA, but that's it. Everything else I got. The one thing I'm concerned about is just the varying degrees of difficulty that people have getting these books. I have some people saying they get all sold out. I have some people, like me, that go, and they have so much, they'll probably say, fuck this. I don't want to return all this material. I'm going to stop carrying it. Because they usually have large stocks, and they're just, it's such a mess, they don't even fit in the box. They just start stacking them now. It's just like crazy. But I've been able to find things in good condition, and I'm just missing so far to date Justice League number 4. And I am going to search this weekend to get it. But this is the Teen Titans 100-page giant. And this had an original story where Disruptor steals a device from Star Labs for Hive. Then it has Geoff Johns as Teen Titans number 1, where the team is united by the Elders, and Superboy finds out his other 50% of the DNA is Luther. I remember that was shocking. It has Super Sons number 1, which is very recent, where Robin asks Superboy to help for raiding Luther's company. Jonathan and friends are being picked on by bullies, and a new villain who has the power like a kid in the Twilight Zone, the movie. And if you watch Twilight Zone, the movie, you know it's that kid that's like, he put together this family of his own, and if they deviate, he'll kill them or turn them into something. Then it had Sideways number 1. Think about this 100-page giant. Very enjoyable, different timetables. Geoff Johns' Titans, very well received. Super Sons, been well received. And Sideways has been my favorite New Age of Heroes titles. So, and it goes with the teens, and I think it's very pertinent, so I'm glad they put it in there. I think so you get something very current, something in like New 50... Rebirth era, Super Sons, and then you get something pre-52, which is Teen Titans, and then you get an original story, which the original story was obviously the weakest of the bunch, but it's still entertaining. Overall, the package rated a 4 out of 5. Need to take a swig of water. If you wonder why I get breathless, as I just got done playing with Harley, if you didn't know that. And I walk while I talk. Right now I'm sitting, but I was walking. We then get Catwoman number 1. Catwoman, this is the solo title after the events of Batman number 50. Someone is framing her for crimes she does not commit with an imposter. Well, I'm going to say with imposter Catwoman, one of them, you think there's just one, but at the end there's a final panel and there's a bunch of them. A new villain who replenishes parts of her body and blood and makes her debut appearance. And she's really creepy. I don't know what they call her, but she's an older woman that's in the media political limelight. And when she takes off her stuff, you realize that she's implanting pieces of other people in her. We then get Batman number 50, which I rated a 4 out of 5. And I don't think I read this. I originally gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought I was very on the fence. But on reread, I gave it a 4 out of 5. And on reread again, I might give it a 5 out of 5. But Catwoman decides not to go through the marriage because she is concerned the world would lose a hero. And it's kind of implanted in her. Holly's working for Bane and swayed her a little bit. Alfred was the best man. It wasn't going to be a big marriage as they planned out, where Superman was going to be the best man and Nightwing was going to be in it. It was just them getting married on a rooftop with two witnesses, Holly and Alfred, and a drunk judge. At the end, you see Bane, Gotham Girl, Skeets, Riddler, Joker, Holly, and Thomas Wayne all there, like they're in some big plot for Bane going after Batman. and all of those characters have been in arcs of Batman. No, Ventriloquist was there too. I think I missed some people here. Poster art for Selina and Bruce emails, and that was really interesting. So then we get into the 5 out of 5s. This means I loved them. And the first three issues of, issues 4 through 6 of Friendship Paradox. I think I gave the original one, at least issue 1, a 4 out of 5. But man, this really won me over, Monica. I don't know if you listen to this, but bless you for doing this series. I think it's amazing. The boyfriend finds out he got accepted to military academy to study engineering, and that's not the boyfriend of our main hero that's time displaced. That's the boyfriend of her friend that she's living with that has the political ties with the parents that are in politics. Leaves his place to Rachel, but helped her build a device that might get her home. So Rachel's our main character. Hope is the daughter of a senator of some sort. Hope's father was stealing and laundering money and was outed and leaves. Hope and mother are on the run now. Hope's mother also having an affair. The father's secretary is pregnant. It's just a masterful drama, and there's some awesome back matter that just lets you know a little bit about Monica. And for me, that's special because Monica has always supported me and my friends, more so from the DC Noise perspective. She's been a listener of that show for quite some time. And she's drawn me, Keith, and Daryl in comics many times. She's drawn the DC Noise train. She gets that podcast. And I'll support her any way I can. And I'm not saying that I love this just because I love Monica. I'm saying I love this because it meant a lot to me. The story meant a lot to me. The intrigue meant a lot to me. The suspense, the back matter. There's just a lot of good stuff, and I highly recommend it. And you can get that only on Comixology. Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 258. This is my adventure into the Tom DeFalco run, and this is Spider-Man takes the costume to Reed. He finds out it's alive, which surprises him. Reed hits it with the sonic gun, and they separate him from the costume. Peter has to hide his identity and uses a bag over his head and some old FF clothes as he goes home, and he tries to throw it at crime as this unknown superhero. Hobgoblin joins up with the Rose. Absolutely loved it. Love this era of Spider-Man. We then get into some more Deadman issues that I told you that I've been loving. You got Strange Adventures 215 and 216. It's the first appearance of Sensei and the League of Assassins. You find out the guy with the hook that we've been looking in the mystery for was just a guy who picked him at randomly to die. It wasn't some big old plot to kill a circus performer. It was just a random initiation thing into the League of Assassins. Sensei wants to kill Hook for failing because his twin brother took over for Boston at the circus, so he thinks that this guy that was getting initiated failed his task, but the guy is his twin brother, Cleveland. Get that? Boston and Cleveland? Boston Brand and Cleveland Brand. Boston tries to protect him, but Hook is killed. Ramakrishna, which is the god that kind of gave Deadman his powers, releases Boston when he finds the killer, but he refuses to be released because he is not satisfied. He then has to stop Sensei from destroying Nada Parbat. Absolutely fantastic. And then we get to Strange Adventures 214, which was prior to these two issues. And it's when Deadman jumps into the body of a man who is in love with a woman. He finds this life and finds out the body he jumps into is that of a hired killer. So he has to try to protect him and his girlfriend when people who hired him tried to kill him because he is now in the relationship and is asking for more money. So it's a love story. So let me try to clarify this. So there's this guy, okay, and he looks to Dead Man, like Dead Man looks at this guy's life and said, "That's a body that I want to be in." He has a lovely woman, and I want to be in that body. But he goes into that body and realizes, oh shit, this guy is a killer. He's a hired assassin for this group. And he recently just asked for more money. So now they're trying to kill him, and he's trying to protect this guy and the girlfriend who he kind of like fell in love with when he was in the other body. You know, he's like, this girl's awesome. And he has to try to protect this girl. So it's a very unusual story. I absolutely loved it. Strange Adventures 214 through 216. Highly recommended. Amazing Spider-Man 258. Highly recommended. And Friendship Paradox 4 through 6. Let's get into another week. So this is the week 7/9 through 7/15. There are a total of 15 comics, a little less than the previous. We had 5 Marvel, 2 Image, 1 IDW, 3 Dynamite, 2 DC, 1 Avatar, and 1 Aftershock. So we have this for this week. We have Delta 13, number 1. This is a Steve Niles science fiction story. It's a group of scientists send probes to asteroids to find chemical composition and run into a huge uncatalogued asteroid that registers life. I liked it, didn't love it. It was just sort of a setup with no detail, but I started to like it more as I read on and following on issues. And then getting a 4 out of 5s, which means I really liked it. We have X-23 Volume 4, Number 1. Laura and her sister go after a group stealing mutant DNA to make clones. When back at the mansion, they run into the Cuckoos, who are very prominent in the TV show The Gifted. Absolutely love that show. Who have kidnapped a scientist that the Beast has sent them to look for. The Cuckoos look like they are trying to retrieve the two dead sisters. It was very creepy. So there's a total of 5 Cuckoos or clones of Emma Frost, and there's the other two are sort of dead, and these three are trying to revive them. And we'll see how all that plays out. We have Action Comics 994 and through 995. This is Superman goes with Booster to Krypton to see if Jor-El really survived. Time is then manipulated where Krypton survives, so Booster has to restore it at the expense of Superman not finding out the truth. He returns back to his time where he is wanted for crimes and runs into his father and mother. This is the Rebirth Superman. And it was me closing out Superman before, you know, because I had to catch up on this. But I started reading Man of Steel by Bendis before, so it's just me reading some back issues, if you will, even though they're fairly current. We then have Die 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 number 1. This was not solicited, but about a politician that sends out an assassin to kill someone who appears to have multiple versions of himself. Political intrigue. The female senator is trying to change and manipulate events by using various assassins. A lot of this is instigated by trying to get a pedophile politician to quit and kill himself. Really good story. That is from Robert Kirkman and staff. Really interesting way to promote a comic book too. From Aftershock Comics, we have Her Infernal Descent number 1. This is a woman is willing to give up her soul to go to hell to see her family again. She travels with the ghost of William Blake, the poet or writer. I can't remember. I just know it's a poet or writer. That's how well literary I am. I mean, with literature, I'm not an English major. And that would be like my last major to choose. I hated English with a passion. The only thing in English that I liked was we had this book for English 101. Maybe it was 102, but I always have a nightmare about that, about me not wanting to take English so bad in college. That I go for my diploma and they said, "Oh, you didn't take the second English." And then I have one where I signed up for a gym class and I forgot to go to it all year, and I got an F in a gym class. I don't know why they get these weird dreams, but that was her Infernal Descent from Aftershock Comics. Bill and I then read Crossed, Wish You Were Here, Volume 3. Shaky, who's the main character of this Crossed, and this is a weird Cross series. This was actually a web comic that they published in like sort of deluxe format, and it's all written by Simon Spurrier, and it deals with the same group of people, which is very weird because usually an arc will last and everybody dies, and then another arc will start up and that whole group dies. Well, this group has been together for probably the longest. And Shaky and Island deal with Americans on ships that want them to join them. The woman left behind and the military base is recovered, but kind of nuts. So they had a woman that stayed at a military base. They weren't able to get her out when they planned to switch medical supplies for guns. That didn't work out too well. He finds out he's going to have a child and is not too happy about it. So that's Shaky. He actually finds out that the girl that he's been talking to. This is when you start to think that this guy's a real dick. He's not crazy about it. He keeps having flashbacks with the nun with the X on her face, which he really is in love with that nun. They lie to their people and say that the Americans are going to betray them. And these are the Americans that are on the ship, and then get in a gunfight with the ship. Shaky manipulated everyone to save his child and get her on the ship. But they were overcome with Crossed. So it's like he wanted to save his child, wanted nothing to do with the child or the girlfriend, but keep her on the ship. We have then Incredible Hulk, Volume 1, 229 through 231. This is Moonstone tries to take over a base and is using Samson to frame the Hulk. Hulk escapes, but Ross is deemed crazy. Hulk decides he is hungry and goes. I remember this one. It goes to eat corn, and the farmers try to kill him. Government agents come to take over the Gamma base with all that has happened, and it looks like he's going to have a run-in with Captain America. That was a good arc. And I still haven't read that issue with Captain America yet, but I should get back on that. We have Sword Quest 3 through 5. This was from Dynamite Comics. This was an Atari-based game. This comic is a 5 out of 5, and absolutely loved it. Centipede was good, but this one I loved. This comic was up there, and I never even played Sword Quest. Based on an Atari game, and the group goes to steal the sword. Peter defeats an unreleased version of the unbeatable game. So he's actually at a convention where the owners of the game, they have a version of the game, and he supposedly defeats it. Peter is the main character who, in the first issue, you find out he's dying. He lost his house in a fire. He goes to live with his mom. He doesn't have long to live. And then he meets up with two of his best friends that used to play Sword Quest together, and they're on this adventure. The owner of the company is from another planet, and the sorcerer is going to potentially kill Pete and the twins. Pete is, tr those are his two friends when I say twins. Pete is transported to Atara and comes back to rescue his friends. They decide to join him on the other realm. As far as we know, Pete is still dying. But maybe in that other realm, time stands still, like that Rush song. I love Rush. Outpost Number Zero from Image Comics. This is a 5 out of 5. A sci-fi adventure where a group of outposts on an asteroid is trying to survive. There is a caste system at this outpost, and the story focuses on a group of kids. It is discovered there is going to be an event which will cause many of them to die. Amazing characters and story. We then get to the current volume of Amazing Spider-Man by Nick Spencer. I gave this a high 5 out of 5. Peter gets caught for plagiarizing papers in grad school from Doc Ock because of Superior Spider-Man, the time frame. He can't explain Doc Ock was in his body, so he gets fired by Robertson, which is and then has to deal with Aunt May finding out, like, hey, you get fired, what the hell? And your degree meant nothing. She gets upset like she always does. Like, even in the DeFalco run, she's upset because he drops out of grad school. He thwarts off an alien invasion by Mysterio when Mysterio is on trial. Some character is messing with him and trying to get Mysterio off on an insanity plea by hiring the Beetle to be his lawyer. They kind of dropped that story arc. That's interesting. Connors as the Lizard trying to help Peter get his degree back because Dr. Connors is actually a teacher at the university and has his powers under control, even though he can revert to the Lizard. He's got it all under control. So 5 out of 5 for the week. The top books for that were Sword Quest 3 through 5, Outpost number 0, number 1, and Amazing Spider-Man number 1, current volume. We then get into the final thing that I'm going to cover. This was July 16th through July 22nd. And there were only 12 books, so I'm really on the downward decline. We have 2 Marvel, 2 IDW, 1 Dynamite, and 7 DC Comics. The IDW comic, which I had no intention of buying, but I did enjoy it, was Sonic the Hedgehog number 1. I picked this up at the comic store just out of curiosity. Never read Sonic the Hedgehog. I used to have a Sega system, a Sega Saturn, a Sega Genesis, and a Sega Dreamcast. I still wish I had the Sega Dreamcast. I gave that away. But I gave away the Saturn too. The one system I came was the I still have the no, I still have the Sega Saturn upstairs is the Genesis that I got rid of. The Genesis was the first one, the Saturn was the second one, and the Dreamcast was the last one, and then Sega stopped publishing. I don't think they stopped publishing games, but they stopped publishing their system. They weren't winning it with Xbox and PlayStation. So, where was I going that? Okay, I never played Sonic the Hedgehog. That's where I was going with that. Dr. Eggman, who I don't even know, has not been seen for a while. I guess that's the evil villain of Sonic the Hedgehog. But his evil drones are attacking towns. Sonic and Tails have to work together to win. They separate, but I believe Dr. Eggman is plotting this to happen. We then have Man of Steel number 5. I rated a 3 out of 5. This was the worst of the bunch for me. The Bendis one. Superman fights Rogel Czar. Art is off because 2 different artists and Yu's art looked off. More Jor-El convincing John to join because he thinks he will turn evil. To join him on this trip, by the way. Also, Titans rejected his membership. So I think what was off on this was the art. All the other issues, they stood out having a good art team and being consistent. This one just threw me off. We then get into 4 out of 5s. We had Man of Steel number 6. Kara banishes Rogel Czar to the Phantom Zone. John and Lois go off into space with Jor-El. Batman, Prelude to the Wedding, Harlequin and Joker. Looks like Harley wants to kill Joker, but it backfires. Leads into Batman 48 and 49. We then have Delta 13 from IDW number 2. In the asteroid, the team finds a woman and brings her aboard the ship. The dialogue was great because I could feel the tension between the characters. Invaders number 2. This is the original series. The team fights off an alien thunder and lightning gods in Germany who are brainwashed by brain drain. That's interesting. That sounds like something I read about that Trailer Park team. Brain Drain? Was his name Brain Drain? Oh, sorry, sidetrack. Just me thinking. Superman number 1. Clark having flashbacks. This is the new DC comic, Superman number 1, relaunched by Bendis. Clark is having flashbacks and missing his family. Superman's confronted by Martian Manhunter to take Earth to its next step and becoming a leader by Su but Superman is not interested. So he's tr Martian Manhunter's trying to convince Superman to do this. Finds out Earth is in the Phantom Zone at the end of the issue. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. Invaders number 1, volume 1. It's the second time I read it in print. The first time I didn't read it in print, I read it on Comixology. Could be why it jumped from a 4 to a 5, just because of sheer enjoyment of the paper. But Pearl Harbor was attacked, and the invaders are off to Germany as they run into the woman with amnesia. She tells them where she might be from on the map, and their plane is destroyed as they enter Germany. And you actually find out it's those gods that were in issue number 2 that I was talking about, the thunder and lightning gods. We then have Catwoman number 1. I thought we talked about that. I thought I just talked about this. Must have reread it. Yeah, I reread it. So that just shows that I did bump up Batman number 50 to a 5 out of 5. This is awesome. Okay, so we got Catwoman number 1. I rated a 5 out of 5, whereas before I rated it a 4 out of 5. But upon reread, I gave it a 5 out of 5. The aftermath of the wedding, Selina is off gambling and making money as she hears she is wanted for the robbery and murder. She runs into someone playing her, and they fight. There is an army of Catwomans. The main villain here seems like a politician's wife who is medically keeping her body alive through different kinds of transplants. It's a second read, but paper this time. So I did read that digitally, so I just bumped it up. Oh, Batman number 50 was digitally too. So I just, wow, this was a, these comics like Invaders and Catwoman and Batman went up, because the first time I read it digitally. And then when I read it in paper, I loved it more. So it could be psychological, but it's coincidence. I even had a better write-up for Catwoman number 1 that was more detail, so I must have enjoyed it more. We then get another 5 out of 5, Batman 50 and 51. Reread this time in print, and it made it a 5 out of 5 for me. The reason I read it digitally was because the wedding, I didn't want to get spoiled. That was very important to me, to not to be spoiled on it. So I read it at midnight. Well, actually, it was whenever they released it. It was like 2 in the morning. And I remember it was right before a holiday, or before me and Barb traveling to New Mexico the next day. So I could read really late. And then I didn't have to work the next day. I just had to get up early to drive. But I really, really loved it the second time. So, and I actually say this was not the second time. This is the 4th read of Batman 50. In 51, we have Freeze on trial for the murder of 3 women. And he confessed to Batman, and Batman beat the crap out of him. The confession may have been forced because he got the shit beat out of him. Bruce is selected for the jury to testify against, this is for Mr. Freeze to put him up for the murder of 3 women. And it turns out to be really interesting. So that was from July 16th to July 22nd, 2018. Again, we have some repeat offenders, but this time they jumped into 5 out of 5s. Volume 1, Invaders number 1. Oh, I skipped one. Bionic Woman number 1. Jamie asked to go to Mexico to retrieve a satellite and runs into General from NORAD that kills the Mexican family and is out to kill Jamie. That was from Dynamite Comics, so I forgot to mention that. So Bionic Woman number 1 from Dynamite, and then we had Catwoman number 1, current volume, and then Batman, the current Tom King run. Joelle Jones on Catwoman. So I want to thank you for listening. I encourage you to send feedback. Let me know you're listening to the show, you enjoyed it, anything I mentioned in here that triggers thoughts. I'd like to know any questions that I answered that you want more clarification. Let me know if you have additional questions. I'm out of questions now, so I could use some more. And you see how they get queued up, so you know the process. You can send questions to me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can send them to mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. And you can go to Geek Brunch website geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's where all the shows are hosted. Mike Ames Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch with Bill Bomer, Geek Brunch Retrocast with Rob and Chris Ivy, Rob Krieger, and Mike Ames Collector's Corner, which is infrequent, but it still exists. And always check out DC Noise Podcast, because me and Kyle, well, me, Keith, and Daryl are kind of pod faded for the most part. Me and Kyle are taking up the reins and actually talking DC Comics. So if you like DC Comics, please head over there at DCNoisePodcast.com. So I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting the shows. And I will talk to you later. Peace out.